Listening Library presents Someday We Will Fly by Rachel Dawoskin. Read for you by Jane Entwistle, with a dedication and note read by the author.
For anyone who has ever needed to leave home, and for Shanghai, a haven for so many refugees in the 1930s and 40s, may America be a sanctuary too.
The bridge. I didn't believe, standing on the bank of a river which was wide and swift, that I would cross that bridge, plaited from thin, fragile reeds, fastened with bast. I walked delicately as a butterfly and heavily as an elephant. I walked surely as a dancer and wavered like a blind man. I didn't believe that I would cross that bridge, and now that I am standing on the other side, I don't believe I crossed it. Leopold Staff, 1878 to 1957. Chapter 1. Domu. Home. In the last act I saw my parents perform, they already looked like ghosts of the Stanislav Circus. It was spring, this spring, May 17, 1940. Alone in low light, they stared at each other for 6 seconds before my father bent at the knees and took my mother's hands in his. She stepped onto the bend in his arm and kicked off as he lifted and turned her upside down. He straightened slowly and she rose, her hands atop his, her hair falling into the space between their heads. They were dressed in blue and silver, like liquid or vapor, moving. They stayed, as they had my whole life, and I guess even before that, in motion, attached to each other. Papa walked toward the audience, with Mama above him. As they came forward, no one breathed. The audience was just a few of their former colleagues from the circus, my silent baby sister Naomi, and me. Mama's face was turned away from us, but Papa smiled, and in spite of the poor light, we saw his teeth flash, saw the glitter tear painted on his cheek. He lowered Mama so slowly, smiling, maybe feeling the joy they'd decided was worth risking a performance, even though they were forbidden. They hadn't performed in so long, it felt unbearable. So here they were, although there was no real ring, no antique building, no fiery spotlight. There was no music. Their faces met, hers upside down, and then he lowered her more until she was at his chest, his stomach, his knees. She bent and suspended herself across him, making their bodies a V before rising up again to his shoulders, where she balanced the back of her neck against the back of his. This was their most perfect act, and I waited, squeezing my sister tight, knowing next our father would flip our mother from his shoulders and catch her so surely that her body would look, even in this pitiful place, as certain as an arrow finding its bullseye. But everything went black. We heard the cracking of a door kicked open, broken, something slamming across the floor my parents had taped up. There was a chorus of screaming voices, my mother's among them. I began to scream too. Someone grabbed me so roughly, I didn't know until I felt the shiny fabric of his blue and silver suit that it was my father. He put me on his back, and I held on as he ran into the blank night, gripping my sister under his arm so she wouldn't slip from his grasp and be lost. We flew to Zagoda Street, where he bounded into the back of our apartment, set us down, locked the door, pulled the blinds, and turned to me, no breath left in him.
"She'll come. We have to wait."
I hadn't asked. We waited all night. Naomi cried the way she does, clicking a cricket noise in the back of her throat, exhausting herself and us. There was nothing we could do. Only Mama knows what Naomi wants, and most of the time, what she wants is Mama. The sun rose and we stared through a tear in the drapes my grandmother had sewn as Warsaw came alive outside. In the day's first dim light, silhouettes of soldiers moved like shadows. Our non-Jewish neighbors, still allowed to work and study, hurried by. When Naomi finally fell asleep, I turned to my father, wild with fear I saw in his face too. Why hadn't he gone back into the night to find her? Was he afraid of vanishing too? Had he chosen between her and us? Where is she? What happened? He said,
I don't know.
We had tickets on a train leaving Lithuania for Italy in 2 days. We were to drive to Lithuania, the four of us, and then take the train to a ship that would sail in 6 days. Sail to Shanghai, a place we couldn't imagine. I tried to clear my mind by counting. 6 days was 144 hours, 8,640 minutes. That was enough time. She might come back, meet us at home in time to drive to Lithuania, 10 hours away, or in Lithuania, in time for the train from there to Italy, which took 2 days. As long as she got to us before we drove, or met us at the train, or found us in Trieste at the dock. Those were all possibilities, and the more I considered them, the more I felt a good one might come true. I told myself she had climbed down from my father's arms, skipping the finale intentionally, to escape. I put the screaming outside of my mind and imagined her on her way back, coming through the door, scooping Naomi up, wrapping her arms around Papa's neck, turning to wink at me. My grandmother, Babcia, would come in singing off-key, delighted. If I thought hard enough, really believed they would be home any minute, there were lots of minutes for God to make it happen. All of her bird clocks chimed, and I jumped like a rickety puppet, shocked. It was 5 in the morning, but we were upside down, our day ending. Papa looked desperately at Naomi. Her cheeks were hot, dark curls stuck to her forehead, and a ribbon of drool glistened down her chin. A wooden cuckoo popped out of our best clock, and I waited for it to slide back to safety. But it stayed frozen, outside. No one else seemed to notice, so I said, "It's broken, look." My sister didn't stir. Papa draped a red quilt over her, and then reached down to pick me up, even though I was 15. We often carried each other around for fun. My father lifted, threw, spun, flipped, and caught us. I was made for the circus, small for 15 and bendy. I had always been able to push 2 chairs close to each other and hold myself up over them, my hands the claws of a limber bird. Naomi was small as well, too small, and when we held her, she slid as if boneless through our arms. My parents called her their surprise baby, even before she behaved in surprising ways. But she wasn't like other 1.5-year-olds, and no one knew why. Not my parents, not the doctors, not me. But when my father picked me up from the couch, it was a different lifting, as if a switch had flipped, and my weight might crack his spine. He hunched over my bed after setting me down. "Maybe she's found Babcia," I tried. "Maybe she found the camp, and that's why they're... well, they're coming back together. That's why..." There was silence until my false, looping voice started up again. "If not, we won't go."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?